to fight a spiritual battle, and I covenanted to pray for our young people because they're out at a retreat weekend, Rocky Mountain House, and Lord, we want you to bless our youth, to bless every youth leader that's there this weekend. And Lord, if there's, and I know there are some of the young people who've never made a commitment to follow you. They've never turned from their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Would you grant them understanding? Would you grant them that desire in their heart to live for Jesus, to give up who they are for your sake, to repent of their sin, turn to you in faith? Lord Jesus, that's only something that your Spirit can do. So, but we pray for that. We pray that there would be young people who would come to a place of faith this weekend. If there's young people that have already put their faith in you, but they've never really crystallized that, they've never really said that out loud, they've never followed you in baptism, I pray, God, that you would give them a desire to follow you and say, put a line in the sand and be a soldier in that regard. And I pray that they would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart for all my life. And I pray that they'd make that kind of a commitment this weekend. And if there's ones that have already made that commitment, but they've kind of grown crusty a little bit, they've lost the appreciation, maybe sin has gotten a hold of their life, I pray that you would renew and restore and revive. I pray that you would also bring them to a greater, deeper love for Jesus Christ this weekend. And I thank you for every one of the leaders that's there, the speaker, for Eric. And I pray, God, that you would pour your blessing out on our young people this weekend. And Lord, as you're pouring out your blessing, I just again invite you to not forget us, because we need it too. So come and enable us to meet with you, to be changed as we encounter you, and to serve you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Welcome those who are here today. Just a couple of announcements that I want you to be aware of. In your bulletin, you see there's a special announcement about our semi-annual members meeting, and it's going to be happening. It got changed a couple of times, but the date will be December 1st, and it's going to be at 1 o'clock. And so you might be able to if serving in some way or in a Sunday school class, it'll be right after that class, right after our ESL class that is every week. So if you know people who are looking for an ESL class, somebody was asking again this morning, want you to know that it's at 11:45 in room 212, and I appreciate those who are working with our ESL students. So on December 1st, there's going to be an election of elders. And so you can see that are the elders that are continuing to serve. They have one more year in their term. That's Tom Chin, Wilbert Yee, and Raymond Lee. But we have some nominations, and it's the nominations on the Cantonese side are actually three: Gerald Tsang, Gary Chung, Telson Chung, and then Al Tan from the English side, Don Yang from the Mandarin side, and we have one nomination from the floor for an elder, and that is Peli Tim. So I hope that you'll come and be a part of that meeting. So one of the agendas is the election of elders. A second agenda is the approval of the budget for the fiscal year in 2020. And then if we get a bylaw change, we'll let you know about that by next week. And then also, here's something exciting. The Building Feasibility Committee will give an initial report, some initial options that we're looking at that we want you to engage with. Now, I know that December is a lousy time to do community engagement about a building project. So that's why we're going to be moving that to January. So in January, we're going to have some opportunities for you to speak into the building project as it looks. And so we've got some 3D kind of models that we can look at, and we'll be talking about that first of all in December 1st. So come be a part of that meeting if you're a member of SGA. Okay. That's the one big announcement that I wanted to focus on today. Okay, so we've got a short video that I want to show, and then the message. Hope that was fun. Now, if you have some special talent like that, I'd love for you to just let us know, and you'd be willing to serve maybe at our Christmas, thing. We could do that. I'd love to see any of that stuff at our Christmas banquet on December 13th. Okay, so before I get going today, I've got a special prize, a special kind of fun moment that we've got. And your chances are even better now that the youth aren't here for this weekend. So, does anybody have a birthday today? November 10th. No. There is somebody? Yeah, you have a birthday today? I want you to come on up. All right. So, birthday, November 10th.
November 10th.
Okay, here you can speak into there.
November 10th.
Okay, well, I want you to know that I have a special gift card for you. What do you like? Do you prefer Tim Hortons or Starbucks?
I think Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
the national.
Okay, so there you go. You got a Tim Hortons. Now, there's one condition, though.
Yeah.
There's one condition. Okay, the condition is you cannot spend this on yourself.
So
now here's my here's my question. Now that I've told you the condition,
yes.
What do you plan to do with it?
I have no idea.
Okay. Now you know, do you think you could make somebody happy by giving it away? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You might have a lot more friends immediately after the service, right?
Yes.
You know, offering you kind of, by the way, I haven't seen you in a long time. And okay. That's the only condition.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great birthday today. How about we sing happy birthday? And tell me your name again.
David.
David. We're going to sing happy birthday to David. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you. Let's give him a big hand.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, each of us has a birthday. And all of us have been given a gift. And that gift that God gave you is not to be used for your own benefit. It's to be used to give away. Right? That's the point of that little. So I got one more card, and that's too bad. I could have gone with, didn't know how many people were going to have birthdays, but we'll have to think about something. We'll save that for the Christmas party. Christian Swartz wrote a book some years ago called Natural Church Development. And he analyzed hundreds of churches all around the world, some that were growing, some that were not. He discovered 8 key quality characteristics that growing churches demonstrate. And one of the key qualities he identified was that growing churches have gift-oriented ministry. He says none of the 8 quality characteristics showed nearly as much influence on both personal and church life as gift-oriented ministry. In churches that were growing, 68% of respondents said their personal ministry involvements matched their gifts. In churches that weren't growing, only 11% said their ministry match their gifts. And the bonus isn't only for church growth. He found that probably no factor influences the happiness of believers as much as whether they're utilizing their gifts or not. When Christians serve in their area of giftedness, they generally function less in their own strength and more in the power of the Holy Spirit. They have greater fruitfulness and they're happier. Friends, one of the watchwords of the Reformation is the priesthood of every believer. And it's something that Protestant churches have espoused for over 500 years. The discovery and the use of spiritual gifts is the only way to live out the priesthood of all believers. We need to discover our shape, as Rick Warren calls it. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. So I don't know where you're at in reading the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? But this is the fourth big theme chapter, or kind of group of chapters. Chapters 29 to 35 is about where you should be in the book. And today we're going to look at one aspect of our shape by studying what God teaches about spiritual gifts in His Word. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, 13. Why don't you sort of read along silently with me? Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 reminds us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to every believer. God is present within us. Well, I should say the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts aren't the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit according to God's grace to every believer for the building up of the body of Christ. So that's how I would define a spiritual gift, a special ability given by the Holy Spirit according to God's grace to every believer for the building up of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts aren't the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual fruit is produced from within. Spiritual gifts are imparted from without. Fruit relates to Christ-like character. Gifts relate to Christian service. Spiritual gifts without spiritual fruit are worthless. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Fruit is eternal. Gifts are temporary. You can't measure spiritual maturity by looking at the gifts. Now, spiritual gifts aren't the same as natural talents. Everyone has some natural talents from birth, and those should be developed and dedicated to God as well, right? So, you know, a lot of the things that I'm going to teach today about spiritual gifts, you could apply to your natural abilities. If you say, well, I don't think that's a gift, okay, then just use your natural abilities to serve God. That'd be good enough. But when we use our natural abilities to encourage others, I think it can actually become a spiritual gift. But there are also supernatural gifts that God may give us that we can use to serve others, like a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, a gift of healing, as we read about. So I want to just sort of do some teaching this morning on spiritual gifts. We're going to look at some principles that this passage and maybe a couple of other passages talk about. But the first principle is that every member of the body of Christ has at least one gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. If you're a Christian, you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. It's not because you don't have any. It's exclusively due to the fact that you haven't yet discovered them. And perhaps the idea that you have an undiscovered spiritual gift is new to you. Maybe it even excites you a little bit. Friends, we've each been given a role, a unique role in building God's kingdom, and spiritual gifts are one of God's tools in our toolbox. Spiritual gifts aren't limited to a special group of believers. They're not just for the pastors. They're distributed to all believers, men, women, and children. And some believers receive multiple gifts for ministry to others. And because there's such a variety of gifts, the number of possible combinations is incredible. But no one person in the body gets all the gifts. If you had them all, there'd be no need of anyone else. And God wants the body to be interdependent on each other. So the first principle is everyone gets a gift. Second is spiritual gifts are given by God's grace, just as he determines, the Bible says. God doesn't give spiritual gifts as a reward for faithfulness. It's not like, okay, well, if you really kind of are like live a super holy life, then God will give you a gift. It isn't like that. He gives them according to his grace, and you don't have more of the Holy Spirit if you get more gifts. If someone else's gift is bigger, it doesn't mean he's God's favorite or she's God's favorite. We've got different gifts according to the grace given us. They're sovereignly distributed according to his plan for his purposes given in his time. So there's no point in boasting about your gift or envying others. See, some people spend more time being jealous of the gifts of others than they do in developing the ones that they have. All Christians have a ministry and can serve others, use their spiritual gifts. Not all believers are called to be pastors or evangelists or, you know, church planters. But the giver, not the gift, is what accomplishes anything. Principle number three, gifts are given for the development of the church. Spiritual gifts aren't just for your growth as an individual believer. Their primary purpose is to benefit others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Okay? The gifts aren't given to make you look better. They're given to give glory to God and make the body stronger. And that's why in the illustration, one of the requirements that I asked of David was, you can't use this gift card on your, like, for yourself. You can give it away, you can buy something and serve others and, you know, treat others and whatever. That's okay. But the point of a spiritual gift is to serve others. If a member of an orchestra thinks that his instrument is the most important and starts playing louder than the whole rest of the orchestra, the conductor will have to help that individual understand, right, that you can't do that. Right, if I don't know if you've ever been in a singing group, right? You have like a quartet or, you know, maybe a, you know, large choral group. I sang in choirs, you know, from the time I was a teenager and then in college and everything and small groups. But one thing you learn is that you have to listen to each other and you got to blend, because if one person kind of, that voice is out, the conductor has to sort of bring that awareness to say, no. Bring that down. You have a lovely voice. Just bring that down, because it's a blend. There's a choir sound, right? Though we have diverse gifts, we've got a common goal, and it's to build up the church and glorify God. And some spiritual gifts are more desirable in the corporate meetings of the church because they result in greater edification of the body. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, eagerly desire the greater gifts, he doesn't mean like that some gifts are better than others. What he means is some gifts build up the body more than others. And he really wants those ones to be used more. Here's another principle. Lack of use causes dysfunction in the whole body. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. See, spiritual gifts can be abused or neglected. The church at Corinth illustrated the fact that believers can be highly gifted, but spiritually immature. On the other hand, if one individual in a church doesn't use his or her gift, the whole body suffers. If others don't use their gifts, you get cheated. And if you don't use your gifts, others get cheated. Paul compares the church to a body, and he says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Our private parts are very important parts of our body. Can you imagine not being able to go to the bathroom for a month? Like, that's a terrifying thought, right? But we think nothing of it if a believer doesn't use his or her spiritual gifts for months or years on end. We go, oh, what's the problem? No, it shouldn't be that way. Every part of the body is needed. Don't use your lack of a spiritual gift as an excuse for laziness or disobedience. You don't need the gift of giving to tithe. You don't have to have a spiritual gift of serving to help put chairs away or clean the kitchen. Friends, we're all expected to serve. We're all expected to give. We're all expected to share our faith. And don't back away from an opportunity to speak about the gospel by saying, oh, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Okay? Lack of use causes dysfunction in the whole body. Principle 5, diversity is not division, and unity isn't conformity. See, each of us has a unique design, and there's great diversity in the body of Christ, and those differences are by God's design. And 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of workings, effects, manifestations, but the same God works all of them in all people. You know, I think the mention, the Trinity gives us theological grounding for our whole discussion about spiritual gifts. See, God is three persons in one Godhead. The Father is different than the Son, who is unique from the Spirit, but God is one. And that's what the body of Christ is like. Different people with different gifts, different ministries, manifestations, offices, passions, personalities, experiences, yet we're one in Christ. Don't expect others to have your gifts. That's gift projection, right? Sometimes Christians who have the gift of evangelism, let's say, they tend to expect all the other believers to have the same gift that they do and the same kind of passion and intensity. And how come you aren't sharing your faith more and whatever, right? Testifying about Christ is every Christian's responsibility, but evangelism is a special gift given to a few. So, you know, we've got to be careful the way we understand our and use our gifts. Number 6, there are different variations of gifts, right? So you might have the gift of evangelism, but you say, well, I'm not Billy Graham. Yeah, I get that. Like, Billy Graham was a unique individual. But that doesn't mean you don't have a gift of evangelism, right? One person might be particularly gifted in applying the gift of evangelism in personal conversation, like Ray Matheson, for example. One-a-day Ray, they used to call him, because he was just so gifted in leading others to Christ. Another might be gifted in writing evangelistic tracts, right? Like, have a unique way to be creative and write it down and do graphic editing. Someone else might be particularly gifted in working with child evangelism. Someone else may be gifted in evangelistic preaching, right? So there's different variations. There's one gift, but it could look like a lot of different things. And then there's different degrees of giftedness, right? So I might have a gift of teaching. When I teach, people understand spiritual truth. But I'm not a phenomenally gifted teacher like C.S. Lewis, John Stott, Rick Warren, Andy Stanley. But that shouldn't diminish the fact that I say, okay, I have a gift, and I should use that gift. And comparing myself to others is usually pretty unhelpful. If I compare, you know, I don't normally say that I have a large leadership gift, like L. I think I have a small L leadership gift. When I'm around like large L leaders, I just get blown away and I go, wow, that's a leader. But if that means that I don't lead when my L is the biggest L in the room, That diminishes the body of Christ. I need to use the leadership gift that God has given me, even if it's a small L. Do you get it? Different variations of gifts, different degrees of gifts. Thank you for that, brother. It's always good to know people are with me. One more principle here. Gifts may be temporary, but are usually for a lifetime. See, I believe that there are times when God may give a spiritual manifestation according to the need of the moment. Like God may give you a word of knowledge about someone else that will expose their sinfulness and lead them to repentance. Right? The classic story is John Wimber on an airplane in his book, Power Evangelism. I think he only wrote about it one time, but it was such a classic story. God gave him, you know, a name of a person. He asked the person beside him, does this name mean anything to you? And it was somebody that this guy was having an affair with. And he go, how did you know? Who told you? You know, God told me. Like, that's a weird answer, right? But that whole conversation on the airplane led this guy to repent. It was a one-time thing, but God gave that word of knowledge. See, so there might be one time in your whole life when you get a word of knowledge. It doesn't mean like you get this all the time. But there's also giftings which last a lifetime. And Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So gifts like service, teaching, giving are normally for a lifetime. And the New Testament speaks of spiritual gifts in the context of the body of Christ, and the church has to adapt to every culture and age, and therefore we can conclude that some spiritual gifts may appear suddenly and then disappear. I wonder if Paul was writing in the 21st century, if he might have called internet specialist some kind of a spiritual gift, right? Like for churches. I don't know. Now, it might be helpful to distinguish between the words gifts and ministries and manifestations. So 1 Corinthians 12, it's got the word gifts, which is charismaton, and then ministries, diakonion, and then energies or manifestations, energermaton. So I had to look this up and I go, so there's some different ways that it's using. There's one Spirit, there's one Lord, there's one God, but there's different kinds of gifts, ministries, and manifestations. And it's possible that manifestations are temporary and gifts are permanent, and ministries depend on our calling experience and the time that we can give to a certain type of ministry. So that's kind of the way that I see those differences. A couple more principles, and then we'll get to application. Number 9, spiritual gift lists may not be exhaustive. So we have about 3 lists, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. I guess that's 4 lists. And they differ considerably from each other. Apparently, there isn't like one definitive list that exhausts them all. So maybe, you know, God has some other gifts that we could talk about. I believe that God gives some people the gift of prayer, and it isn't mentioned in the above list. So they may not be exhaustive. But here's, I think, the most important principle. We should earnestly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. We should long to have God's power in our ministry. And it seems to me that Paul is encouraging believers to ask for spiritual gifts, for spiritual wisdom and power and insight to build up the body. If we see a weak link in our church, we should pray and ask God to give that gift to someone. And if we need more evangelism, we should say, God, would you stir up evangelism in our church? And if we're weak in serving, we should say, God, stir up the gift of serving in our church. But the important thing is that we would pursue spiritual gifts. Friends, why is it that it seems like the spiritual gifts are most often talked about in Pentecostal or charismatic churches? Do we not have spiritual gifts? We do. We've already looked at the scripture that says we do. Then we need to talk about it, and we need to pursue it. I get that some of the gifts mentioned in our passage today, like prophecy and miracles and healings and tongues, are the subject of considerable controversy. In fact, we had a bit of a debate this past week with some of our pastoral staff, and it was an interesting discussion. But I think that anybody who reads and believes the Bible has to be at least a bit of a small c charismatic. Meaning, because the word charismata is the Greek word for gifts. If you believe that God gives gifts, then you are a small c charismatic, right? And some people make a distinction between sign gifts and edification gifts, and they think that the sign gifts aren't needed anymore now that we have the Bible. Well, they still support the edification gifts. And I got to tell you, I don't find any reliable evidence in the scripture for this. It may be that certain gifts have become more rare, either by the sovereign will of God or by our own lack of faith in the supernatural, but I can't agree that certain gifts have suddenly ceased. And the position of the Christian Missionary Alliance, you need to know, like about our church and about my position, is that all gifts are for today. All the gifts are for today. If the church needed gifts in the first century, I think we desperately need them in the 21st century, when more people are alive on earth now that have lived and died in the entire history of the planet. We need God's power and spiritual gifts. And a part of being a good steward of all that God has given us is stewarding our giftedness. The difference between a fine stone building and a pile of rocks is knowing kind of how to select and shape and fit together stones. And the impact of your ministry depends on the use of your spiritual gifts. And if you know where you're gifted, you should be serving in that area. And you should also know areas where you're not gifted. If you know where you're not gifted, you can choose not to make that an area of focus, and you'll be motivated to find others who will complement you where you're not gifted. When we use our spiritual gifts, we'll be satisfied and the church will be edified and God will be glorified. And you'll be satisfied that you'll feel that your life and ministry has significance. And when you let the Holy Spirit work through you and build up others, you'll feel the joy of being in the stream of God's kingdom activity on earth. And when you work according to your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experience, you'll know what to say yes to with your time. So let me kind of bring this to an application. What do we do with this teaching? First of all, very first thing is open your heart to God in prayer. The first thing that you need to do to receive spiritual gifts is to receive the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you can't receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. God promises to give the Holy Spirit to all who call on Him in repentance and faith. So if you've never done that, that's the first step, is to say, God, would you come into my life? Make me the person you want me to be. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I repent of my sin. Spiritual gifts are first and foremost manifestations of the Spirit of God, and unlike natural talents, spiritual gifts are only given to believers. And if you're already a believer, I'll say this to you, only to the degree that you open your heart to God in prayer will you be able to make new spiritual discoveries. Don't ask God what you already know about. Ask God, what do you want to show me? How can I best serve the body of Christ? Number two, get informed. You're going to have difficulty determining which gifts are yours if you don't know what gifts exist. Are you open to all the gifts that are mentioned in Scripture? About spiritual gifts, Paul says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. So don't be ignorant. Read the Bible. Read what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Talk to other Christians who possess a spiritual gift and ask them how they discovered and developed their gift. And then be ready to apply your gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to us so that we may accomplish certain tasks. They're always given to serve others. If we're not willing to use certain gifts, why should God give them to us? If you really don't want to build up the body of Christ, why would God give you a spiritual gift to do that? And then begin with what you enjoy. See, the idea that we should somehow suffer and endure the ministry that God calls us to is a myth. It's normal that putting your gifts into action should bring you joy. If you've got the gift of hospitality, You probably already know that because you enjoy having people in your home. If you've got the gift of service, you probably already know. You kind of start serving and you start smiling more. And it's always been God's intention that using our spiritual gifts would bring us joy. If you want to discover spiritual gifts, why don't you ask yourself, what do I enjoy most as it relates to the church, serving the church? You know, and I get that there's moments in every teacher's life when you feel like you want to throw in the towel. But just like mountain climbers are willing to endure great pain during their trek so they can experience the tremendous high of reaching the summit, so we can endure small amounts of difficulty and yet still enjoy teaching or youth ministry or serving or whatever your gift is. And I think a really important principle, especially for new believers and for young people, is to experiment. How are you going to find out whether you enjoy a certain gift if you've never tried it? You know, it's possible that you have the gift of healing and you don't know it because you've never prayed for the healing of somebody else. See, one of the fundamental problems with spiritual gifts questionnaires is they only measure stuff that we've already tried. So how can a teen or a new believer figure out their spiritual gifts if they have no experience in ministry? So that's why I really don't encourage young people to say, you know, kind of get a spiritual gift inventory and start checking it off and stuff. I don't think that's the place to start. The place to start is experiment, is try some serving opportunities, right? And this is a great kind of a model. Sign up for a test drive. Let's say you want to serve in children's ministry. There's Sham over there. Sham, why don't you give us a wave? Okay. So you say, Sham, I don't know if that's my area of giftedness. And she said, well, how about a service test drive? How about if you come in and observe for a Sunday or two? And then you can try it out. And you don't just try it one time and fall on your face and you go, it didn't quite work like the way I hoped. Try it a couple of times. Here it says four, but whatever. But then if you say, no, that's just not for me. Okay, that's fair. But maybe you say, I really enjoy this. I really enjoy working with kids. Well, that's a great way because you've experimented with your giftedness. And then, maybe you get some feedback from others. Say, well, how did that go, right? Parents can be they can help affirm giftedness in children. We need wise counsel and feedback from others. And this is why it's important to be a part of a small group, right, where people can tell you about your spiritual gifts. And even though you've got certain spiritual gifts, it doesn't mean there's no room for improvement in those areas. You should make every effort to train those gifts so they can be used to their full potential. If you don't exercise muscles, they weaken and atrophy. And if you don't utilize the abilities and skills that God's given you, you'll lose them. Whatever gifts you've been given can be enlarged and developed through practice. So if you want to grow in the area of leadership, you got to read in leadership and you actually have to lead something, some group, some direction. If you want to gain counseling skills, you're going to have to probably do a lot of self-reflection, peer mentorship, coaching from an experienced professional. You want to grow in the area of prophecy, you're going to have to take a risk and prophesy. Whatever gifts and abilities can be strengthened and made more useful. So don't settle for a half-developed gift. Apply yourself. And then impartation. You know, I was talking with somebody a couple weeks ago, and this whole idea hit me. And I said, if you want to make the temperature of your spiritual life better, you've got to fan the flame. Because it's right in Scripture. For this reason, Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I believe there's a level of impartation in the area of spiritual gifts. And we could pray for you. You can ask the prayer team to pray for you that we would fan into flame the gift that God has given you. And then persistence, right? Don't evaluate yourself or someone else too soon in the process of ministry development. You know, you can't try to preach one time and then say, I guess I don't have the gift of preaching. It didn't go that well. I remember, my wife Linda was a children's pastor here when this church was Southview at this location. And there was one kid who was often out in the hallway, she said. And it was probably because he had ADHD, whatever. And his name was Brad. He was the son of the pastor. And fast forward 20 years, I was a member over at First Alliance, when Brad Young, for the first time ever in his life, gave a sermon. He preached a sermon. He got a standing ovation. I never get standing ovations at my sermons. But it was the first time, and it was just one of those moments where you see this guy blossom. He started doing it more and more. And you know what? He's a pastor now, and he preaches all the time at a church plant in Southeast Calgary because he developed something. He risked. He tried something that he'd never done and goes, wow, I enjoy this. And that's what he does. Well, I want you to watch this video, and then I'm going to bless you as we go. Ask you to stand. I want to invite you as you go today. I've made a sheet that out of Rick Warren's study guide about our shape, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. And it's back on one of the tables in the foyer. I'd like you to grab one and think about that and talk about it with your small group. Because I think that's a great context in which I want to continue this conversation. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is to take a risk and start serving. Try teaching, practice prophesying, whatever it is. I'd like you to take a risk and move into the area of giftedness. God has given you a gift card when you were spiritually reborn. But you're not supposed to use it for your benefit, okay? So I hope you got that from our time today. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that you would bless us now. Lord, it's so easy for us to learn something, look at your word, and then forget. It's kind of like,